The General Services Administration believes too many agencies have been setting up contract vehicles of their own instead of buying goods and services from the GSA schedules, the handy old schedules. Why? Well, for one reason, federal regulations didn't allow them to pay for ancillary items to go along with schedule buys, especially in services. Well, that's now changed. A new rule GSA published last month incorporates so-called order-level materials into the schedules program. Jeff Kosis is GSA's senior procurement executive, and Mark Lee is assistant commissioner in the Office of Policy and Compliance at GSA's Federal Acquisition Service. They spoke with Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu about this rule and what it means.
An order-level material is a fancy way of referring to all the services, all of the support items you may need in carrying out a government contract. We've seen in the last several years a big growth in umbrella contracts, so-called IDIQ, indefinite delivery, indefinite quantity contracts. When that happens, you can't really anticipate everything you'll need. Let me give you an example, make that more real. Think about a facility maintenance contract, taking care of everything in a facility, in a federal building. Everything from the HVAC system, the plumbing, something is going to go wrong somewhere in the space of that contract. We don't know today what those items are, and it's not possible or logical to present every possible repair item. So what the order level materials refers to is those things we need to actually carry out the contract, but they're not going to be known often until the work begins.
And if you can say a little bit more about what the genesis for this change was. I understand it's something that GSA had been hearing a lot about from agency customers. What was that demand signal, really?
Exactly. We've been hearing that both from agency customers and from our contractors. What the agency customers were telling us is the lack of the ability to do that was leading them to create duplicative contracts and thus adding to their cost, slowing down their acquisitions, creating some inefficiency in the market. Our contractors were giving us a very similar message. They told us that they were carrying multiple contracts just because they did not have that flexibility to be responsive on the spot through an order-level material rule. So hearing that message both from our customers and our contractors, we recognized that this was a hole in the program that needed to be fixed.
And Jeff, as you said, the suspicion, or at least I assume you guys have more than a suspicion, you've got some evidence that this had caused a proliferation of IDIQ contracts. I know you can't always read people's minds exactly as to why exactly they're setting up their own IDIQs, but do you have some sense of proportion as to how much of this flowering of IDIQs was caused by this exact issue? Because, and I don't think we've mentioned it yet, order-level materials are allowed under IDIQs already, right?
Order-level materials, indeed, are allowed under all of the other IDIQ contracts. This is a trend that has been going on for the last, decade and a half or so. So at the government-wide level, the FAR Council dealt with this about 10 years ago or so. They changed the rules and created this process. But at the time, somehow, schedules were not included when that rule changed or was carried forward. So we saw that proliferation. We saw the growth in all these other contract vehicles. We've seen really tremendous growth in overlap in government contracts.
Yeah, we've seen evidence that this indicates that it costs the government money, also an administrative cost, but it also costs industry in their bid and proposal costs. So the General Accountability Office estimates that it costs anywhere from as low as $10,000, but as high as $1 million to get on some of these IDIQ contract vehicles. And so the aim of this is really to reduce that duplication and let industry focus their bid and proposal money to compete for orders at the task order level, which is a priority for GSA.
To me, this is about positioning the acquisition workforce for success. This is an opportunity to simplify buying, to remove obstacles, to remove administrative costs from the system. We believe that we've done that in a way that deals with very manageable and very prudent risks across the board. Mark and his team have a very good training rollout plan to teach people how to use this authority wisely. But I want to point to this fiscal year as the very reason that this is critical. We expect Congress will pass a budget sometime in late March. OMB then has to apportion the money. The money then needs to go to the federal agencies, make their way down to the program offices, go from there to the acquisition organizations, and be spent wisely. If we look at the time involved, they're not going to be able to go off and create new IDIQ contracts in that time window. So this is really a way to deal with some of the ongoing challenges and to ensure a successful end-of-year buying season.
What was the previous process when you did want to buy something from Schedules? I mean, was it just a matter of you buy a product or service from the Schedule and then do a separate contract action for any of the ancillary products or services?
Pretty much that was the previous process, unless it was an item below the micro-purchase threshold, which was then $3,500. But anything, you know, on a multi-million-dollar contract, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 buy, not real significant in terms of percentage, yet the Schedules did not have a procedure to allow that to be part of that same order. So we had built an inefficiency into the process.
Yeah, I'm trying to drill down into exactly how big that inefficiency was, because there's still going to be some amount of paperwork involved to account for these order-level materials, right, as far as making sure there's a proper audit trail and that the government has done its due diligence to make sure that prices are fair and reasonable. So how much bureaucracy are you cutting out of the process as a practical matter?
We think it's pretty substantial. Again, a number of agencies have told us that is a primary cause, leading them to create a whole separate contract. When we look at all of the IDIQ contracts that have proliferated over the last decade, we've talked to the agencies, we've met with their folks, asking why are we not leveraging a contract, why are we not achieving those administrative savings? And one of the biggest reasons they keep telling us was this hole in the Schedules program. So if we see something that's really leading to behavior that increases costs across the board, we had to take action on this.
Yeah, I would say at the most basic level, this really allows a contracting officer to conduct a buy with one procurement transaction instead of doing two. So obviously being able to do it in a single action is more efficient and effective for all the parties involved, for both government and industry.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about the rule itself. And I guess one big question is, what do you do in the rule to make sure that there's a reasonably direct relationship between the materials and the underlying schedule by itself?
There's a couple of things that we do. We start with a basic requirement. Contracting officer determine that the price for those materials are fair and reasonable. We also set a percentage limit. No more than one-third of the order can be those support items, those order-level materials. That ensures that the significant bulk of the order is indeed under the scheduled contract and for the very purpose. We also require the contractor to obtain documentation to support how they came up with that pricing and on request to make it available to the government contracting officer. The big concern, of course, is abuse, opportunities to misuse the rule. That's why we thought it was important to have a clear cap established. To ensure greater visibility, we also created an additional special item number in the schedule contract, a classification, so that we can then group these together, have conversations with industry, take a look, is it being used as it's designed?
Jeff Kosis is GSA's Senior Procurement Executive, and Mark Lee is Assistant Commissioner in the Office of Policy and Compliance at GSA's Federal Acquisition Service.